Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, hour two, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. What a pleasure it is today. You know, Joy, temperatures are cooling down in Los Angeles. Inside
what?
More. Can really bunker down this weekend. It's going to be a big football week. We're going to learn a lot, Joy, about the Packers.
We are. I thought you were about to say you were growing the beard back.
No, done with that. Look sloppy.
you're doing your scruff rub. I mean.
There's a lot to learn. Got to keep your eye on the Patriots. They look like they're back last weekend. Now they have to go back on the road.
It's a big weekend for the Browns.
Thank you. Huge. There's a lot to learn. I will be bunkered down in the grotto.
We don't do chicken parm on Sundays because that makes you sleepy. Is it a nacho weekend?
It's a no alcohol, have to see with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
No cigars? Nope. No fuzziness. Nope. You have to watch these games.
You're not getting wild calling this weekend, Hollywood.
No. All odds provided by Fox Bet Sportsbook. Our blazing five off a winning week. Here we go.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Vikings and Ravens.
I like the Ravens -6 to win and win big. They're coming off a bye. Great coaches off a bye do well. They've won 5 of their last 6 games. They're a good big game team. They're averaging over 6 yards a play, top 4 in the league. And if you just look at production, Lamar Jackson running and throwing, he leads the NFL. The Vikings are 1-5 in their last 6 against winning teams. And here's what's funny about Lamar Jackson. The AFC sees a lot of Lamar Jackson. The NFC does not. He's 11-0 against the NFC with 25 touchdowns and 3 picks. The NFC doesn't see a lot of Lamar. So when they show up and have to defend him, and he's way faster than the tape, there is a shocking, alarmingly jarring Lamar Jackson reality to NFC teams. He eats them alive. I like Baltimore 33-24.
Broncos at Cowboys.
Broncos trade Von Miller. What is the message to that locker room? We're done. I like the Cowboys -9.5. 6-game winning streak. One of only 2 teams in the league. Buffalo the other to outgain every opponent. Dak Prescott is rolling, folks. 1 of 4 quarterbacks averaging 300-plus passing yards. Now Cedric Wilson appears to be an excellent target. The Broncos have lost 3 of 4 games. They're banged up. They trade Von Miller. They needed 2 block field goals to beat Washington last week. And they're an 0-4 team if they allow over 14 points. Translation, you're not keeping the score low here for Dallas. They're going to pull away. Cowboys win 34-23.
Falcons at Saints.
I know. You think I'm crazy. I don't know if they'll win. I'm going to take the Falcons +6.5. The number's too big. Here's why. A, it's a division rival. These teams always play close. Also, Falcons are 2-2 in their last 4, only losses, both 1 possession. Also, 23 straight games, Atlanta has not allowed a 100-yard rusher. Why does that matter? Because Michael Thomas isn't coming back. Because they didn't land a speed receiver. This is a very weak receiving core. In fact, New Orleans has only 15 big plays all year, lowest in the NFL. What does that tell you? They've got to run the ball. What does it tell you? Atlanta's got a good run defense. The Saints' offense this season, it's a pop gun. It's a water pistol. I think they win the game. But by the way, Trevor Siemian, you all love him, right? His last 25 starts, he's got 31 TDs and 24 picks, low ceiling. I'll take the Saints to win at home. I cannot give Atlanta 6.5 in good conscience. I'm going to take Atlanta to cover. Saints win 26-24.
Raiders at Giants.
I like the Giants +3. They're getting healthier. Kenny Golladay now will play. Kadarius Toney will play. Daniel Jones, for all the criticism, back-to-back games with a 95-plus passer rating, and their defense takes the ball away. The Giants defense in the last 4 games, top seven third down, top seven takeaways, tied for third in sacks. It's a real defense. The Raiders are dealing with multiple off-field issues, and their red zone defense is the worst in the league. What does that mean? The Giants may not have to settle for field goals. The Giants are going to get some touchdowns at home here. I like the Giants to upset the Raiders 24-23.
Cardinals at 49ers.
Like it. I love it. Niners had a 300-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, 100-yard-plus receiver. Deebo Samuel, they got playmakers here. Arizona's nursing DeAndre Hopkins, hamstring issue. A.J. Green on the COVID reserve list. Kyler Murray didn't practice. You are not getting them at full strength. Also, J.J. Watt's gone. He was their best run defender on the defensive line. What do they like to do? They like to run the football. And Garoppolo has had a ton of success against Arizona. 116 passer rating. Arizona is beat up. Stars out. J.J. Watt no longer there. I think it hurts Arizona's run defense. You saw it against Green Bay. Green Bay pushed him around. J.J. Watt had value. I like San Francisco to win and cover 30-24. I love those picks. I really do. I humbly love those picks. I will say this. I hate big numbers, but I took Tampa a couple weeks ago with a big number they covered. I took Buffalo last week. They covered big number. It's a new league. I'm taking Dallas minus 9.5. I think that Von Miller trade, I don't think that's great for the room. All right, let's bring in Eric Mangini, Fox Sports NFL analyst. He lives in Cleveland. So, let's just start with this. Why didn't it work in Cleveland? I won't even have an opinion. You tell me, why didn't it work?
Well, Colin, when everywhere you go, there's a problem, at some point you got to realize that maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're the issue. Maybe it isn't everybody else. And Odell's had a problem everywhere he's been. And the talk has been it was the head coach's fault. It was the quarterback's fault, the team wasn't good enough, and you can go on and on with it, but at some point you got to take a step back and say, okay, what can I do a little bit different to make this successful? And he had tremendous success really early in his career, but since then it's been hot and cold, it's been marred with injuries, and I think he has a real hard time not being on the marquee, and in Cleveland, there's a lot of other guys that are going to be on the marquee ahead of Odell, and he's not willing to accept that role.
He's not a terribly disciplined route runner. Can he still work for somebody in this league, Eric?
Yeah, the flip side of that is when you watch the tape and you watch the way that people play the Browns, he's still getting a lot of attention when he's on the field because nobody wants to be the team that gives up the big game against Odell. So that respect is legitimate, and he can be productive. I think he's going to have to go to a place where, A, he wants to be, and B, he's excited to be, and C, probably has some sort of veteran outstanding quarterback that can control the negativity that could possibly come with him joining the team.
Yeah. I mean, that 11-minute video his dad sent out, he was open. He can get open. That's no question. So I've always thought Aaron Rodgers is great. I think he's a little high maintenance. I think he can be selfish and a tad bit of a diva. I know you've always liked him. Did this whole situation this week, did it alter the way you think of Aaron?
As a player, I've always loved Aaron, and he's so hard to deal with from a defensive standpoint. I would imagine that Aaron thinks he's one of the smartest people in the room, and he probably is the smartest person in a lot of rooms. However, the way that he handled this, it makes some of the other things that he talks about, you have to take a step back and say how legitimate were those things when he talked about wanting to be involved in personnel because of the talented guys they left, as opposed to, hey, I was frustrated with my contract. You start to second guess all the things that he says when you get confronted with a situation like this.
Yeah, you know, it's what I was thinking about this this maybe is a little bit down the road, but I thought it was really working perfectly. So the teams that are in Green Bay's class in the NFC were Dome Team Arizona, Warm Weather Tampa, Dome Team LA. And I thought, you know, they were going to have to potentially go to Lambeau in January. And I was like, man, this could work out really, really well. And I don't know if Aaron thought about that, but coach, they lose to Kansas City and Seattle. There goes a, I think that's a significant advantage for a dome team to go play in the snow in January. I mean, your thoughts?
Yeah, you don't want to go to Green Bay when it's cold. And it's ridiculously cold up there. I've played in some games there that if your guys aren't used to that, it can be jarring. I'm excited to see what happens with Green Bay this week, and I'm excited that Jordan Love is going to get an opportunity. And this is really why they drafted him. Eventually, he was going to be the heir apparent. But in those situations where Aaron goes down, do you have a second that can come in and play well? And he's had plenty of time to learn the system. He's had plenty of time to get used to the NFL. This is a great opportunity organizationally to see what they have, and I would imagine that he'll play well. I don't know if he's going to play well enough to win, but I think he's going to play well with the opportunity.
So I need a coach's insight here. So I did not put the Bengals-Browns, I did not make it one of my picks because I don't know how the Cleveland locker room is going to respond. I would have to completely guess on this. So you tell me, there's a disruptive player, it's ugly, you let him go. Do you expect Cleveland to be hyper-focused or distracted? What do you think we see with Cleveland this week?
Well, usually in these situations, Colin, we hear a fraction of what's really going on. And look, I've been in plenty of those situations where you have something happening, something leaks out to the media, but it's only the tip of the iceberg. So it just depends on how truly disruptive it was having him there, how much of an issue he was in the meeting rooms or on the practice field, or how confrontational it was with him and Baker. Sometimes the group can collectively exhale and you remove all of that negativity if it really was the case, and it allows you to focus. And look, we hear teachers talk about the student that needs a ton of attention and takes attention from everybody else. It can be a really good thing in addition by subtraction if it was as disruptive as I imagine it was.
So Robert Saleh, for the second time this year, went to a podium. Forget saying it to his coaches. Went to a podium and largely said, you can learn a lot not playing, and you don't have to, sometimes it's okay, you don't have to be the star in every play. And it was my knock on Zach Wilson coming into the league that I thought he had some Johnny Manziel, that he played hero ball. A little bit of a show-off, and he played. And it's hard. Tom Brady, as great as he was, I never thought he was showing off. He did what was best for the team. Last two games without Zach Wilson, they're wildly productive on offense. You think there's anybody in that locker room that's thinking, maybe we should play Mike White? Anybody?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of guys in that locker room that are thinking we should play Mike White. And when you have a high pick like that, and you don't bring in any legitimate competition for him, you don't position him in any way that's similar to any of the other players on the team, and then that player goes in and doesn't perform at a high level or even, you know, an average level initially, it can create a lot of resentment in the locker room. Guys don't want to see other guys just get handed positions, just get handed opportunities that they weren't able to have. They all want to win, and they're all doing everything they can to win. And if someone's holding them back, even though they were a high draft pick or they got paid a lot of money, they want that person to sit and put the other guy in who gives us a chance to actually legitimately win.
All right, so you know the Patriots well, and I'm watching Mac Jones' last 14 quarters, and I'm like, I think Bill's turned the corner. I think it took a year and a half, but I'm like, Nick Folk doesn't miss kicks. The defense is good. You can't beat them over the top. The penalties are low. I really think they have a nice run offense. I has Bill turned the corner? Are they on their way now? The worst nightmare for the league, New England's coming back.
Well, this is what happens or should happen with young players, Colin, is about midway through the season, there should be a significant jump in the way that they perform because they're over all of that initial learning the playbook, getting used to the coaching staff, getting used to the NFL, and now you're building reps upon reps. And it sounds like Mac Jones, outside of being smart, works really hard. So things are starting to slow down for him in terms of what he's seeing. He probably understands the entire offense. He's understanding who he's playing with. Yeah, they've got an opportunity to take another jump. And as long as New England doesn't make plays to beat themselves, which historically they haven't, there's been a few more this year than traditionally they've had, they're going to be in every game. And as he gets incrementally better, they could be a problem as we get to the end of the season for a lot of teams in the AFC.
All right, go back to listening to Cleveland Sports Radio. I'm sure it's
I'm going to jump on there. Colin, your weekend doesn't sound very fun. No nachos, no cocktails. I'm glad I'm not hanging out with you this weekend.
All football, Eric. You know me. I have no life. Eric Mangini, great seeing you, Coach.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
By the way, Prince Amukamara, former a New York Giant, and he's going to be joining us this hour. Very interested on his thoughts on a variety of things. And also we have Leroy Butler next hour. He's a talk show host, former Packer, a talk show host in Green Bay. I cannot wait to hear what his callers are saying on this. I love when he comes on because he gets to hear Packer fans. I don't get to hear that. It's on like a Milwaukee's Best Rock, and he's out there talking to the fans in Green Bay. And I don't know what they're saying, and I'm fascinated by it.
I'm curious, too, because according to Twitter, it's our fault.
Oh, my bad. You're right.
So
yeah, we divulged information that was... pretty obvious.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Fox NFL Sunday has a long tradition of heading all over the world to honor our servicemen and women in the armed forces. 2 years ago, they went to West Point to broadcast with the cadets, and now it's time to celebrate the midshipmen of the Naval Academy. Don't miss a very special show, including an exclusive interview with Patrick Mahomes. Fox NFL Sunday, live from Annapolis at 11 Eastern on Fox.
You know, I didn't have an opportunity to go to Annapolis. I had gone to West Point earlier, which is one of the most remarkable places on the face of the earth. I've heard Annapolis is equally devastatingly beautiful and impressive. And if you ever get opportunities to go to those places, I strongly encourage you. There's a great historical relevance, obviously. And I've heard this is just an incredible place. You know, when I'm a West Coast guy and when I moved out east, I try to make a point to really go to historic places.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I'd live there forever. And there are so many rich traditions on the East Coast that they would make great vacations with your family. There are so many smart, interesting, fascinating, important places, and Annapolis is supposed to be one of those. So the guys are going to have a great time, and Fox does a remarkable job to support the men and women in the military in America. So can't wait for that. By the way, Joy has got a story. I'm not even going to do a story now. I'm just going to give it to Joy because this Aaron Rodgers stuff that's coming out, he's crossed a threshold of kooky town. So Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, there's kind of a lot to unpack here. So Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID this week and was immediately ruled out the Packers game against the Chiefs on Sunday.
NFL did that, not the media.
The NFL, yes, only the NFL said that he was out. Now, it was revealed that he was unvaccinated. And the reason that we know he's unvaccinated is because we have a very clear understanding, the media, people who have read the protocols, of what the difference in protocols are for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. And when we find out that someone is positive or if they are in protocol, which doesn't necessarily mean that they are positive, but they could have had a close contact, we know if they're vaccinated or not based off of the fact that they can return with a series of negative tests. This was not an option for Aaron Rodgers. Therefore, by process of elimination, using brain power, we were able to deduce, not we, but reporters, that he was unvaccinated.
Right.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is displeased with this information becoming public. He is furious that it has been, quote unquote, leaked.
hasn't been leaked.
There's a lot to get to here, but I think words are very important.
Yeah, I want
to
hear his words.
So does Aaron Rodgers, because that's why he specifically said he was immunized, and not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because words are important. We use words to communicate different things. They imply different things. Leaked means that this was something that was supposed to always be private. There was no reason for it to become public. It was a private matter, private information, private conversation. For example, the Dolphins to a conversation with the Texans.
That was leaked,
meaning it was a private conversation or matter that was then made public, which, look, happens all the time, but that was a leak. Us using our brains based off of the protocols and the information that we were given about when you would be back to understand that you were unvaccinated is not a leak. No one is conspiring against Aaron Rodgers. It's not HIPAA.
Oh, wait, it gets worse, though.
It gets worse. So on the Pat McAfee show, which he does every week, he said several quotes. "I'm doing really well. So big thanks to everybody that reached out, checked on me the last couple of days. I feel really good." That's good news. So everything else aside, he is not extremely sick, because this is a deadly virus, and he is unvaccinated, so he is feeling good, so that's good. That's good. He said he is in the crosshairs of the woke mob, and references cancel culture, of course, because, I mean...
Gotta blame the cancel.
How can you say anything today about having a consequence but without cancel culture?
That's an interesting word, because words matter to Aaron, right?
Correct.
The woke mob. No, the president is asking you to get vaccinated. That's not a woke mob. The CDC, scientists and doctors, based on data, you have 72% less chance to die, 63% less chance to be in ICU.
Yeah, but the CDC changed the protocols and their recommendations several times, so they're liars. And Joe Biden is a Democrat. So who should we listen to? How about Donald Trump?
He got the vaccine.
His entire family is vaccinated and encouraged everyone else to get vaccinated, too.
So it's not a woke mob.
I'm pretty sure Trump is not a member of the woke mob. As a card-carrying member of the woke mob, I'm pretty sure he's not with us. Anyway, he said, "I didn't lie in the initial press conference." Said there's a witch hunt going across the...
I mean, a witch hunt.
I'm sorry. I have to get through this. I need to be professional. There's a witch hunt going on across the league about vaccination status. He is a critical thinker and doesn't believe in giving into woke culture.
It's not woke to get... Now, by the way, when Delta Airlines, when... By the way, Fox News has protocols. Are they woke? Is Donald Trump woke?
No.
It's... literally, Aaron is trying to...
There's so much more. He said he had an allergy to Moderna and Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson was the only option, and then he didn't like the Johnson & Johnson clotting issues. He also said the NFL vax protocols are not based in science, but were shame-based to get people vaccinated.
No, they're actually created by scientists and... Like, he thinks it just was... This was made up, a homebrew made up by a Larry on the Reddit board?
Apparently. I don't know, or the man, Bill Gates. He also appealed the decision of the NFL and NFLPA rejecting his unvaccinated status, saying he gathered over 500 pages of research on the efficacy of vaccines. "My desire to immunize myself is what's best for my body." He also said the next chapter of his life is becoming a father, and expresses the concern about the long-term effects of the vaccine and what it might do in terms of, you know, being sterile. I have the CDC website, if you care to listen to the CDC, which is, of course, very controversial, but it very clearly states on the bright, bold letters, research studies for the fertility in healthy males. And it says right here, no such thing, no evidence of that whatsoever. But again, what do doctors know? He said he's not some sort of anti-vaxxer, though. He's not a flat earther.
Okay.
And he does fall on the sword, though, however, for the press conference violations.
This is interesting.
For the protocols, because it says, he says it's the only protocol that he has broken, because the press conference rules, he says, make no sense to me.
Oh, wait, time out. So they don't make sense to Aaron, so he's going to break them. That's what narcissists do. I know the world has to wear masks, but it doesn't make sense to me. By the way, at Fox, there are places I can go, can't go, and I'm vaccinated. There are areas I have to wear a mask, and like an elevator, I have to wait, you know, but it doesn't make sense to me at Fox. So I'm just going to freewheel it, you know, and just kind of do what I want to do. Can you imagine being so arrogant that you break protocols because, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Say what you want about Cole Beasley. He acknowledges authentically, I'm against it. The league allows that. But what it doesn't allow is to you to freewheel it and just do it because it doesn't make sense to me.
I can't relate to this kind of arrogance because I'm not permitted to as an individual in life. I'm not granted those privileges to just decide what I can do and not do in every setting, in every room.
You know how Aaron...
So no, I can't relate to just deciding that the protocol doesn't apply to me.
You know how Aaron tends to think he's above the media? Aaron, you're no longer interesting. I'm above you. You literally believe that the rules don't apply because they don't make sense to Aaron. I read it in a Reddit board that at Fox, and I don't think we're woke, you have to wear your mask in certain places. By the way, I do think a lot of the masking is cosmetic theater. I will say it. Sometimes I think it's ridiculous.
I hate it. Look at this face. Do you think I have any desire to walk around with a piece of cloth over my face all day? No. I'm in my prime years and they are being disguised. People don't even recognize me. Do you know how awful that is for me?
I never thought about that. The mask is great for me.
I have flawless skin and I'm starting to get bumps. I mean, can't be anything but condescending about this. I'm sorry. Like there are ways to talk about what you believe in.
And the
most frustrating thing is, all I hear about this ridiculous vaccine conversation is that it's been made to be political and that it's divisive. Well, when you say things like cancel culture, no one is canceling you. You will make so much more money in your career. You will have lots of endorsements. You will still be famous. You can buy mansions. Just stop it. Stop it. Cancel culture. I don't even want to hear the term. No one is canceling you. There are rules. Are we just advocating for anarchy? I'm down because I will win. I am the craziest here. I promise you. What is the point of all this?
Aaron has crossed a threshold of crazy town. His narcissism is now it's gotten to a point where even the people that have defended him for the years, and I've said he's a lot of maintenance. I think even those people now, they see what I've been saying for years.
I have been the number one Aaron Rodgers defender in this building.
You are.
For years.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. God. So anyway, the Browns released Odell Beckham today after nearly three seasons with the team. By the way, I feel like did we get like a whole segment about how right?
You know what? I don't even have an opinion on her next two stories. I'm exhausted. I need to take a breath. I can't even believe where Aaron went. Like, he went crazy town.
It's really.
He went Kyrie. He went nut town. Crazy town.
It's disappointing because here's the thing. We all have these platforms, right? And I personally believe you have a responsibility when you have a platform to not just to yourself and what you believe in, but what people will listen to and what people will do based off of what you say. God. So when you say things like this, you enable people. And look, this can be your opinion. But it just, you literally said you're not going to follow the rules because you don't believe in them.
Jesus. That's what crazy guy does on the Reddit board. And I'm just, go ahead, you do your two stories. I'm out. I just can't.
Anyway, Odell is done in Cleveland. Yeah. And Andrew Berry announced in a statement that after careful consideration that the team decided it was in the best interest of all parties that Odell no longer played for the Cleveland Browns. So now he heads to waivers. So this is where it gets a little bit complicated. So he has to clear waivers before being able to choose his own free agency destination. So someone can claim him off waivers. And here is the current waiver wire order. Detroit, Miami, Houston, Jacksonville, Jets, Giants, Washington, Philadelphia, Seattle, Chicago. Those are that's the order for the current waivers. So he has to clear them. The 10 teams with the most cap space are Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Denver, Seattle, Carolina, Chargers, Pittsburgh, Washington, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. So I know I just threw a bunch of stuff out there, but basically Jacksonville would be the first team that would have enough money. No. I'm sorry. Yes. Jacksonville would be the first team to have enough money and within the waiver wire space.
I don't think that makes sense.
I don't know that Jacksonville will do that, but that is the current situation for Odell. So some news on the NBA front with the Ben Simmons situation. The Sixers reportedly fined Ben Simmons his $360,000 game salary after missing last night's game against the Pistons. This has been an ongoing kind of flexible situation, and they plan on continuing to fine him. They had stopped fining him because he was working with the team doctors for his mental health situation and for his back. but he is not cooperating on the mental health front. So they are going to plan on continue fining him until he cooperates with the team physicians on his mental health issues and fulfills his other basketball related obligations. According to Woj, the team believes they've been supportive of Ben Simmons, but have been left no choice to resume finding him because he's not providing basic details on his course of treatment or to accept consultations with any specialist arranged by the team.
That feels like it's in the crosshairs of the woke mob. Oh, I just said that. It makes no sense, like Aaron. I just, from now on, I'm going to do an Aaron Rodgers. I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob. You mean the NFL, which would like you to take, is the NFL woke?
I don't know.
Is the Players Association, which agreed to these protocols, are they woke?
I don't care how condescending I sound. It's ridiculous.
No, I mean, literally, he's saying the woke mob. Well, the NFL Players Association and the league agreed to these. Are they woke?
Does the woke mob have robes?
That's a great question. Can you get a woke mob?
I feel like you have to, you can like graduate, like you get from like a pin to like a hat.
It's a great question.
It feels
question.
Like a very exclusive club that exists somewhere.
The fact that you just throw it out there, like, we all know that there are moments that you can see some of, you know, we can have discussions about stuff. To just throw the woke mob out when the league and the players agreed to this, these protocols, is that...
You know what's really disappointing? Because we're, you know, obviously being very condescending about this, as we should be, but this is a serious situation. And the NFL got through the season last year in tremendous fashion, dealing with unprecedented amounts of players being out with COVID. They put an unbelievable amount of protocols, poured millions into testing.
Millions?
Did everything.
I would say 100
yes,
million.
Everything that they could do to make it as safe as possible for players to come back and get the league in. They did it without fans. All of these leagues did such a tremendous job to keep players safe, to keep coaches safe, by the way, who are not all young and healthy, but are working in your building. So is the rest of the staff that's in the building with you, the people that clean the building that you're in. There are so many people that you come in contact with that are not young players.
Right. Old coaches, old staff.
That are vulnerable, who might have vulnerable people at home. And people have died and are dying from this virus.
Yeah.
It's not a conspiracy. So to get up here and talk about all these things and woke mob and cancel culture and all this stuff that doesn't exist, but in the abstract, when you really take all the political nature of it all out, everyone from every side is telling you to do the same thing.
Yep.
So there is no woke mob agenda here.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't get a check from someone to talk about this, I promise you.
All right, enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Ever wanted to make your home feel safer? No better time and no better place. Simply Safe. 40% off their award-winning home security. SimplySafeColin.com. SimplySafeColin.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, Prince Amukamara was a Super Bowl champ with the Giants, 9 years in the NFL, over half his career with New York. He played with OBJ for a couple of years, played 113 NFL games, started 99 of them, and he is joining us from Arizona. Good place to be. So let me ask you about this. Some players, we always use the term, some guys can get a little hot. They're emotional. That's their personality. It's who they are. I mean, this is a very emotional game in the NFL. Odell's dad puts out a video. It's not what I would have done, calling out my quarterback, but, you know, it happened. What did you make of the video? When you saw his dad put an 11-minute video out, what was your initial reaction, Prince, to that?
I didn't see the video. I didn't see the video, but I've heard a lot about it. And just like you said, this game is full of emotions, and you have a dad in Odell who's super supportive of his son. And so, I mean, I can't speak on a video because I didn't see it, but hopefully it wasn't, there was no ill intent with the video.
Do you think, Prince, is it possible that this was never going to work? It's an unstable franchise, and, you know, he had success in New York early when it's a more stable franchise with Coughlin. Why do you think it didn't work?
That's a tough question. I mean, outside looking in, Odell's an alpha, and I feel like a lot of receivers, right? I mean, the team could win, but if the receiver isn't getting their touches, it's not a good game. And so, playing with Odell, I know he's a team player, and he's always happy about everyone else's success. But just from what I've been looking at and stuff like that, he's open. I guess it's more of a fact that he's open, it seems like, and he's not getting the ball. And so for that reason, that relationship isn't working. But in the offseason, I've seen him and Baker, you know, like, be together and have a great time together. So it's, it's unfortunate that didn't work out.
Where is there a place that he would work? I think he would work in a place with structure. If you took him to New England, they don't have an over-the-top receiver. I think some players, Prince, they do need better structure. Some guys can walk into dysfunction and they're fine. It doesn't matter. Some guys need structure. They're better served. New England feels like it would work to me. Is there a place you think he would work?
There's a couple. For sure, the Packers, I believe. Just with Aaron and Aaron getting the ball to his playmakers. And I feel like they need another receiver on the other side of Devontae.
Yeah.
And then with the unfortunate situation that happened in Las Vegas, I think the Raiders wouldn't be a bad spot either.
I got to ask you, when you look, you played with the Bears for a few years, actually three. And I've said before, I think Justin Fields is talented. I do have questions about the Bears' front office. They've been trying to rebuild that O-line for 4 years. It's still a mess to me. What do you see with Justin Fields that encourages you? Do you see growth so far?
100%. I mean, from growing from that game when he played against the Browns, right, I think it was 8-plus sacks, like, and then also the Tampa Bay game, which wasn't such a great game with the turnovers. I think, but what we saw against the Raiders and games after that, I think he's showing growth. And I think Nagy, I mean, I've heard a lot of naysayers on Nagy's play calling, but I feel like Nagy's an awesome play caller. And Ryan Pace and those guys in the front office, I mean, this is biased, but I really believe that they're doing a great job up there. So I think the Justin Fields situation, I think it's going to be a good situation for the Bears.
You know, a question I got to ask you here, we got about 3 minutes left, is Daniel Jones. Last two games has had a passer rating over 95. New York is impatient. It's not a very good offensive line. What do you make of Daniel Jones? If you had to predict that it would work or not work, what do you see with him that you like? Are there things that concern you about the Giants' young quarterback, Prince?
I mean, obviously, as a quarterback, the number one job is to take care of the ball, right? Like, don't throw interceptions, don't give up fumbles, and I feel like he's been pretty solid with that. He's improved in that aspect.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he just never had a healthy core. Like, we haven't seen him with a healthy Saquon, a healthy Kenny Galladay, a healthy Sterling, like, a healthy Slayton. Like, we haven't seen him with, like, a healthy core. And we know football is the next man up mentality, but I just feel, and he's still been in those games, like, even against, yeah, even against the Redskins and other teams. Like, they're still in games with him playing with who he has. And so, I feel like as soon as he gets a healthy core around him, I mean, he's going to be successful. Like, he definitely has that grit. He's not afraid to tuck it down and get those yards. But again, like I said, the quarterback's number one job is to take care of the ball.
Prince, Amo Kamara, Super Bowl champ, Now living in Arizona, we appreciate you stopping by the show today. Some update on the Giants and a guy you know, OBJ. Thank you so much for stopping by, Prince. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So I can't. So Rogers on Pat McAfee's show said he's in the crosshairs of the woke mob, which I would push back on because the NFL, the CDC, our president, the Players Association have all agreed to these protocols, right? Like we all know the game. He also said people are lying about him. Well, Aaron was deceptive in the summer about vaccines. We weren't. He says, I'm not an anti-vax flat earther. Well, he is anti-vax. He's not a flat earther yet. He said he's it made no sense to me. He said, yes, my fault for press conference violations, but it's only the only protocol he's broken because the press conference rules, he said, make no sense to me. To that, I would say I don't understand. I mean, I wear a mask. I do not understand wearing a mask into a restaurant. And then when I'm around food in an enclosed area with poor ventilation, I take my mask off. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But those are the rules, and because I'm not a narcissist, I follow the rules. I don't like wearing a mask. As Joy said, she's beautiful. We're taking away great years of Joy's face. This is very unfortunate. But
really a tragedy.
There's a lot of rules. I don't always like driving 55, but I know it's dangerous if I go too fast. I hate wearing the mask. But I do because there are certain protocols that I follow, and I want to lubricate society, not be above it and agitate it. So he's basically saying, you guys are lying about me. You lied. This stuff made no sense to me. It doesn't make sense wearing masks for a lot of us. We still do it. And, oh, by the way, it's just I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob, which makes no sense because the woke mob is like the far left leaning media, I think, and the NFL is not far left leaning or media, and they came up with the protocol. So I'm lost on all this, and it's kind of embarrassing in my opinion, but Aaron won't play Sunday against the Chiefs. That is not a lie. That is happening. So we've got a lively last hour coming up. Leroy Butler, Packers, it's the Herd.